Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Mission Accepted. Love you guys. Love you guys. Thank you so much for sharing, inspiring, sending in comments, contacting the guests. This is a show about entrepreneurship, and we so appreciate and we love that you share this. And I know that some of you are entrepreneurs, some of you are budding entrepreneurs, and some of you just like to hear these crazy stories. Some of you are like, what? I'm happy with my 9-to-5. You know, no thank you. Or no wonder my husband's so crazy. He's an entrepreneur. Anyways, all good. Thank you for being here. You are the best. And you are the most studious audience. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why you're studious. Because we have, you know what? Has the world of producing your own book like shot right up? Like all the people that have always ever wanted to write a book are starting to do that. Now, I don't know whether it's because we had too much time at home with our own thoughts. And we were like, hey, or there's some incredible, you know, collaborators, Mission Accepted being one of them, that likes to compile and put incredibles together and take a clear message to the marketplace to inspire you, or whether you've always had a book inside you. And you know, sometimes it's if he can do it or she can do it, I can do it. And I hope you get that inspiration today, because there's a lot of people taking really powerful messages, their personal stories, but also messages for others. And the interesting thing is, when I was reading Wanda's book, she had shared with me when we had met previous a little bit about, she had some personal attachment to this. So as I was reading her book, to me, I felt like I was reading a book of self-discovery, but I was also reading a book of education. And it was beautiful. And you know, my daughter is a child educator, so I had an extra jump in to read on this book, but she's done so much more. So this woman is what we consider an entrepreneur. So when you look at her title and go, what's an entrepreneur? And I've always said it's an entrepreneur that can't say no. That's this woman. So she, you know, she sure stands up to the calling. And so she's an amazing speaker, phenomenal coach, and an author. So Wanda, thank you so much for coming on to Mission Accepted today.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, Mission Accepted.
Yes, Mission Accepted. Well, look, let's find out just that for you. So when did you decide that you were going to take on being your own boss? And what was that like?
It was probably just under around 10 years ago, maybe a bit more. I had gotten into probably more that self-discovery piece, learning more about myself and realizing how much I wanted to help others, to be able to serve others, depending on how I could do that. I had originally started out as energy healing. So I was a Reiki master teacher. So that's kind of where what different types of services I was offering. But really, my business has evolved so much over the years. And that was kind of, I think, part of what an entrepreneur is seeing where the needs are, how can we help people, and what are people needing at a certain time as well. So in terms of the book, so, you know, as I said, business started about 10 years ago. And I have been part of a couple of different collaborations. So being a co-author on different books, but I never really had my big piece in those. Whereas this was my baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can. And you know, I tell people that collaborations are a great place to start. If you're looking at using print for two things, one is for expression, teaching, and or marketing. Because being in a book can be very helpful, can be one of those things that adds to your business or your repertoire of information or how you share it.
could be a part of your branding, depending on what it is, that collaboration is a great place to start. So let's talk a little bit. I'd love to, because you know, you're you know, what I call a crone. You're a veteran here. You've done this for 10 years. And I've been talking to a lot. I mean, I've been around a little while as well. And as we start, like you said, things expand and they explore. Who knew when you were doing Reiki that you were going to be doing speaking? I mean, we don't know that. Things evolve. What's it like for you? I've been talking to a lot of people where, I mean, gosh, you know, we've had a lot of involvement over the last few years. It seems like everything's just been, you know, the axis has just been spinning pretty fast. What's it like moving from one direction to another? Do you miss it? Does it call you? Like that transition of going from different, you know, different sectors.
Well, part of my own journey is I still like to keep my foot in the door. And so it is difficult for me to give things up, but really it's depending on what you focus on at the time. Mm-hmm. So if somebody came to me for a Reiki class, I would say, sure. But really, I'm not marketing that. I'm not promoting that. I'm not talking to people about that. I'm more focused on authorship of From Head to Heart right now and getting speaking engagements around that. And also the coaching piece, doing workshops.
Yeah, I know, it's interesting, right? It's like you're the pieces before never leave you because you created it. I think it's much different than when you are working for another company. So you can go from one company to another company to another company. And when you leave, you know, you complete. But when you evolve as an entrepreneur, you take you with you. Well, you created this, you created that. It kind of comes along. And I understand because, you know, if someone wants a session or what have you from my days of healing, then I just like, oh, that's a God job. I'm supposed to work with you. But, you know, it's interesting. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about this incredible book. So I know that some people are just listening to us right now and they're not able to view it, which means you're going to have to go watch this episode because this is an incredible cover. And it says From Head to Heart. So you did some collaborations. What inspired you to put this together? Like, what was it about this content in particular that you find so dear to your heart?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was part of my own healing journey.
Mm.
So I think many people during the time of these last past few years really started looking within themselves. And I was on a few different paths that I was really diving deep into and trying to clear different things. And I was working with the gene keys. I was also working with a therapist, just being able to go deep and to be able to do that shadow work sometimes that's needed. Mm-hmm. I felt things were, the energies of the time were very significant and it was called to do. So I myself, this story is kind of partly my own story up to a point, but it definitely begins as my own story as being a child who was bullied.
Right.
And essentially it was my response to that of building a wall around myself for protection. So really part of the kind of my mission is to be able to make people more aware of where might you have done that in your life. So the idea, where have you lived in your head? Where have you tried to control things? But then where have you tried to also live through your heart and be able to, you know, spiritually, whether it's opening up your heart, being able to heal different traumas from the past, and just all the different things of being able to feel the feelings too. So, you know, it was kind of that journey of, it was like, I was just told one day that it was part of my healing journey to be able to write down these words. And then it was like talking to, you know, I'm always getting coached myself as well, even though I coach mm-hmm. others. Coaches get coached themselves. And my coaches were the ones that said, you need to publish this. And so they were actually the ones that introduced me to the illustrator. So being able to collaborate with that. And yeah, then it was that process of learning what to do and how to get a book out there.
So that's incredible because I highlight many times, I, like you, believe strongly in coaches should be getting coached. And look, at some point, we all need to look inside. You know, I think if you don't choose to do therapy, therapy chooses to do you. And so what that means is when things feel like they're not working anymore, or you have no control of certain things, or things are happening outside of yourself that you're not wanting to happen, then usually a delve inside. What's it like to take that time aside to do that? I mean, that I think is really commendable in oneself. So there's that, you know, what you called shadow work and that delve of work. So a lot of people, particularly entrepreneurs, plow through life. We plow through, and there's nothing wrong with getting up in the morning and going, huh, I'd rather go to the beach, and then coming onto the podcast, you know, as a guest. No, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that we, you know, I mean, we're human, we're normal, but by nature, we have that plow it through type of attitude. So what was that like, taking some time aside to do that exploratory work and then, you know, put it into paper?
Yeah, well, and that's just it, is like entrepreneurs, yes, they need that mindset in order to be able to get something done. Mm-hmm. But are they being almost too much in the mind and not being aware of things that are going around them? Mm-hmm. So that's just always one thing to consider. But I think essentially it was the pandemic that gave me this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And seeing that, and that's part of being an entrepreneur too, is being able to see the opportunity. So how can I use this in order to improve my life and others? So it's like, yeah, so I took the time. Yes. Being able to dive deep. We weren't seeing people. I wasn't working in person. It was like I really stepped back from the energy part of my business. And to this day, it still hasn't necessarily, I haven't stepped back into that either. So, and that's right. Okay.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so from head to heart, when you say that you do speaking, so the interesting thing is, as an adult, these are one of those books that as an adult, you can read and relate to it. Because you talked about, I mean, look, if anyone's listening out there and you haven't built a wall around yourself at some point because you fell down, you know what I mean? Whether it's relationship or bullying or you're heartbroken or a transition in life or someone passed and you're grieving or whatever it is, there's times where we just don't feel like we want to be vulnerable or trust again, whatever. So I don't think there's anyone that wouldn't relate to reading this book, but it's.
And that's exactly why I wrote it as a children's book, so that it is accessible to all ages. Even the person reading it out to a child can get so much out of it on so many different levels.
So tell us what some of the responses has been, and when you're speaking on this book. So when you speak particularly on this book, is that you're speaking about bullying? Tell us a little more about that.
And it all depends on who the audience is.
Right.
So the idea of if I was to be doing an author visit in the school, I'm focusing more on the bullying piece, being able to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And introducing that idea of mental health to the kids as well, that it's okay to ask for help when you need it. That little piece about, you know, it's a little bit harder depending on the age group, whether they can understand from being in the head to being in the heart. But I think they can really understand that being in the heart piece, especially when you connect it to nature. So, you know, that connection with nature and that relaxation piece. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it's kids talking about those types of subjects, but then working on, say, the workshops for adults, we can really dive deep into, you know, what does living in the mind look like and how much is a good thing versus too much is not a good thing, or whether it's inappropriate boundaries. Mm-hmm. So that whole idea of the wall and when is it time to take it down? Because in reality, really, something like a wall should not stay up. You know, these boundaries, that would be an inappropriate boundary. So, and then your boundaries, you know, are always being flexible depending on what the situation is. Holding a wall up for many, many years, especially, is not a good thing because you're not really connecting with other people and you're not connecting with the energies, say, of the universe, of nature, or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
Now, also, yeah, and then, you know, just what living through the heart is all about. So whether that's in a spiritual sense or even just in the sense of the feeling, the feelings, the cycle, you know, the psychology piece of it, being able to be with your emotions. And that's another thing that you can definitely talk to kids about, because, you know, just introducing the different emotions to them, and that it's okay to feel the emotions, that they really shouldn't be hiding them, because let's face it, probably our parents were probably in the generation of, you know, I'm talking my parents, where we hid a lot of emotions and we didn't talk about emotions in the house. So being able to talk about emotions is an important thing. You don't want to bury them. You don't want to have them hiding around.
So I know that you, when we were talking a little pre-show, that you said that there's kind of sections that you really talk about. And I'm not sure if that's when you're talking to adults or when you're talking to children, but there's three kind of components. It sounds like you've just explored one of them pretty strongly around your feelings, talking through them, working with them. You know, again, I can relate to you. You know, I think my generation was, you know, children should be seen and not heard. And so you weren't like necessarily coming home and feeling like you had an open forum, like, you know, like the evolution now where kids are talking. I mean, when my daughter went to school, they had a talking table. Like they had this place that they could all go as friends and they could talk. And, you know, we had that in our family, but as generations change and we learn and we grow. So what are some of the other elements of the book? I know you were sharing a couple, so maybe boundaries was one.
The main three areas, but
okay.
It's that whole idea, and feelings and emotions are kind of in each piece. The whole idea of living in your head, of course, is you're not really feeling your emotions. You're trying to control your emotions, or you're not feeling them at all. You know, burying the feelings. And that's kind of one thing that Gwen does in the book is, you know, she puts up that wall and she buries her feelings. And that kind of comes into the inappropriate boundaries as well. So the idea is nothing is getting through there. And when we're talking about inappropriate boundaries, you're looking at that withdrawal piece, you know, so the mental health piece of perhaps poor self-esteem, poor self-worth, not feeling like you're belonging to anything. So, you know, and in inappropriate boundaries are going to not be able to, you know, have those positive experiences.
Right. Very good.
Looking at the living through your heart. So kind of that, you know, so essentially living through your heart is not living through your head all the time. And then being able to feel the feelings again, being able to be true to yourself. So kind of have that understanding that, you know what, I'm a unique person. No matter what other people think, I do have my strengths. I do have my uniqueness that I am here to bring to the world. So the whole idea is being true to yourself, being who you are. Because really you're here as that unique person in order to show your gifts. So, you know, and so that's kind of all part of living through your heart as well. Living more mindfully, more consciously, being in the present moment. So also, that whole idea, you know, and then we can also get into, you know, that feeling of the emotions. Like, you know, I was reading even just last night, I was reading Living Untethered by Michael Singer. You know, so the whole idea of not having emotions control you, just being with them, being present with them, breathing through them, whatever technique that you happen to be able to use or what you need to be able to use. But it's also not resisting feelings, but also not striving for them either. So when I said being present with them, just whatever arises and you just see it through. But that whole idea also not striving particular emotions. So the whole idea of that spiritual bypassing. So being able to just be that joyful, happy type of person. That's not always the case. And so you're kind of bypassing a lot of life if you're trying to live like that. Right. So, yeah. And so there's just a lot of different parts to this book. But you can do workshops on it forever.
Right. Well, yes, you can, because feelings and emotions and living from your head to your heart is a forever kind of topic, isn't it? So let's go to the authorship part of it a little bit. And there's a lot of people that would, you hear many times people like, oh, I'd love to write a children's book. As someone who's been who's written a children's book and someone who's been in a book that was not for children. Is there anything in particular that you did differently? Like, what does the marketing of a children's book look like? Like, you mentioned schools, for example. Like, what have you learned?
Even back a step from there. Just the fact that it's going to cost money.
Yeah.
So the idea of you need to be able to have that understanding of what the costs are going to be. Like, I had an illustrator. I had to pay an illustrator. Right. I also paid like an editing, I don't know, whatever you kind of editing designer to be able to kind of put all the pages together. So the idea of, in order to be able to produce, like kind of, I think of it as like a work of art. I kind of wanted to do it right. And I didn't want to just be able to use whatever program that I could find for free on the internet. And so in order to raise the money, because, you know, entrepreneurs were not, sometimes we're starting with nothing from there. But the idea is I did a Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. And so I really researched on how to do a Kickstarter campaign. And, you know, I essentially reached my goal in 3 days. So being able to access all the people that I know, as well as putting it out there and how to market it and how to write up a campaign. So it's like all these types of different marketing skills that even start at that point.
And okay, then- so I'm going to just stop you right there a minute, because I have this and you'll get this. I can hear questions. I can hear questions. Okay. So you just said something pretty powerful. You were able to get your what you needed from your campaign in 3 days. Please share with the audience how you did that. That is you guys, I can hear you. And that is an entrepreneurial drop. That's a gemstone drop. So how did you manage your goal in 3 days, my dear friend?
Yeah, well, I did my research and I definitely hired people to help me. So first of all is doing the research. I had talked to different people that had excellent Kickstarter campaigns, just in terms of, because usually you have little offers depending on who donates a certain amount of money. So being able to talk with different people as to what my offers were going to be, being able to talk to people just about how to actually portray the actual campaign. So then I hired a wordsmith in order to be able to, you know, not even necessarily a marketer. Somebody who was, a lady that I know, who knows me, and was able to write like the marketing campaign piece of the Kickstarter campaign. For me, it was like it had the right type of energy in order and the flow of it. So, you know, and that's just it, is hiring the right people and knowing where to look for help is kind of all part of it.
Right. So you had great verbiage. Do you mind sharing what some of the perks that you offered? If I know in a lot of campaigns, it's like if you donate a certain amount of money, or what were some of the ones that you used that were helpful for your book?
Yeah, well, even just from any donation was able to get coloring sheet, because this is a children's book, right?
Yeah.
So it was like of the front cover, you know, just a thing to color for kids to color. So that was kind of with anything. But increasing from there, whether you're getting just the PDF version, the electronic version of the book, or whether you're actually getting one copy of the book, or whether you're getting three copies of the book. So different levels, depending on how much people were donating.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. I mean, it's always helpful. Like, that's why a lot of people, you know, reach out, you know? So you had the successful campaign, you kind of put it together. And then what are the other things that you've done to get your book into the hands of the people that you want to have them, which, you know, we always say everybody, but obviously schools are things. So from a children's book standpoint, how did you take your product to market?
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Well, and that's just it, is who am I focused on wanting to get the book in their hands?
Yeah.
So first of all, schools.
Right.
So talking, whether it's to teachers, whether it's to talking to, say, the admin, the principals and stuff in the school. I also talk to libraries. Them to be able to purchase it for their children's collection. I also talk to just parents and grandparents. Because, of course, being able for them to be able to purchase for their children. And that really has been like one of my more you know, where I've had the most gratitude, where I see people so excited to be able to purchase that book and to be able to take it home to read it to their kids. So yeah, awesome. That's kind of awesome. The part that, you know, kind of fills me up, seeing the people that are so excited to be able to purchase the book and bring it home.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to kind of dive off a little bit and ask a question that's kind of not out of sphere, but in the, all the, how long did it take you to put your book together from concept to market?
Okay, well, I probably wrote it. It was somewhere in February or March.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually kind of the longest piece was getting the illustrations done.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really took for many months.
Right.
Yeah. Right. My illustrator kind of moved in the middle of it. So, you know, there was delays there as well. Mm-hmm. So by the time that I, because it was probably by the fall that I connected with the illustrator and then he moved. And so mm-hmm. we more worked on it through the winter of the following winter. And then when we actually had everything together, I had the design editor put it together. And then we were able to get books in my hands and other people's hands by the June. But I actually didn't hold book launch until August. So that's a whole other piece too.
So that's, yeah. So just, so March, April, May, June, or the following year. So a year, 12 months, 14 months, or 3 months.
No, we're talking like 18 months.
18 months. Okay. So, I mean, I think that's important for people to hear.
18 months. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a process. Books are like creating courses. There are processes. You write them, you come to them. So out of the process, what was, you know, it's a longer process, as everything is when you're an entrepreneur, because guess what? So-and-so's moving or blah, 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 or that course doesn't start or it's not ready or whatever. I mean, oh my gosh, I know. I do books. I get it. You know, particularly if you're waiting for people to send things in, but that's a whole other show. But anyway, so I think it's just good for people to hear that there's a process to it, because there's like, write your book in 10 days. And yeah, you can, you know, I guess you
can. I
wrote
the book in 2 days.
Yeah.
But it was a long process of getting editing and the illustrations and putting it on the togetherness piece.
Yeah,
that's compiling. The part that took a long time.
Right. Okay. So for you, you wrote the book in 2 days. So that's what I was saying. Like, so for you, that process, that part you were clearly ready for. And then it was the other pieces that came in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, essentially it just came through.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that I had to work on per se.
Right. Very cool.
It was coming to my heart, right? It just had to be done.
Everybody has such different, you know, interesting experiences. Some people, they're like, they've got to write, like they've got to actually put time in their day planner because they need to focus and concentrate. Some people channel, you know, which I would say was probably more yours. Okay.
And remembering too, this was a children's book, right? It's less than 500 words.
Right. So. Yeah. Okay. So let's kind of shift it a little bit and get to know Wendy. Or sorry, Wanda. Why am I calling you Wendy?
My sister is Wendy.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Oh, so we're having, so maybe Wendy's here today with us. So what's something about you, Wanda, that we don't know?
Well, I guess one thing we haven't talked about is the fact that I'm actually a teacher as well, but now a retired teacher.
Okay.
So, you know, just kind of, but if we even kind of go back in terms of different careers, I was also a research scientist for a decade. So the idea that, you know, I have my master's of science and I worked at a university research lab for, you know, 11, 12 years before I decided I wanted to go into teaching. I was kind of getting bored and I wanted to change things. Now that's kind of also sometimes, you know, kind of the part of being an entrepreneur is that whole idea of being wanting change, you know, just always changing things up. You know, if you get bored of something, you try something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so,
okay.
You know, just the different careers that I have had in my past too.
That's awesome. Okay. Other questions. And it doesn't have to have anything to do with your business. It can be a completely personal thing. It could be completely obscure to anything that we've talked about, or it can be aligned with anything we've talked about. So I always think it's very powerful to share your bucket list. And I'd love to know what's something that's on your bucket list because you never know who's listening.
True. Well, true. I do picture the idea of being able to travel and speak about the book or whatever topic at the same time. So the idea is I have a speaking engagement, let's say Europe, you know,
okay, plenty let's of go Europe. There. Okay, let's go
willing to visit.
Anywhere particular in Europe, Wanda?
Well, I've never been to Spain and France, so that would be nice.
Okay, so yep. Spain, France, or even
Norway, okay. Sweden when it's warmer.
Okay, well, you could do all four. This is your bucket list. There's no limits on it. I mean, you leave it. So you say you're 20.
I get to go and have fun speaking, but then I get to have some travel connected with it as well. That's, you know, all paid for because I went to speak.
Absolutely. So a fully paid for European tour of speaking and sharing.
That's it.
Okay. Look, I'm sure people would love to get their hands on this book. Also, Wanda clearly does speaking and she does speaking. This is an international speaker. You are talking to people. So Wanda, where can people reach you and where can they reach to get their hands on this book?
Okay. So first of all, to reach me, the easiest way is to go through my website, which is wandadavis.ca. You know, my email is wanda@wandadavis.ca. So those are the easiest ways to reach me. Now, to be able to purchase their book in Canada, you can get it off the Chapters Indigo website. In the US, you can get it off the Amazon.com website. So those are the easiest ways to get the book. But then I'm quite happy to be able to mail it out to people as well. So, you know, it all depends. If you don't want to go the electronic route, you want me to send it out to you personally signed, I'm quite happy to do that too.
Awesome. And that's beautiful. It's nice when you can give a signed book, you know, particularly to if you're giving it to a child, because, you know, autographs are everything. Autographs are everything. Okay. I have one final question to ask you. And then we'll have you back on the show when you're starting your tour. We can tour with you. Yeah, we'll be in Europe soon enough too, Wanda. So maybe we can tag team on something. All right. Mm-hmm. You're on your way to a desert island. You have one suitcase, and in that suitcase, you have room for one album. And you're going to that desert island, and that, you know, you want to make sure that the album you take is the one that you could not imagine not ever listening to for the rest of your days. What album are you packing in that suitcase?
Well, it would definitely have to be something by Leonard Cohen.
All right.
I was like a fan of Leonard Cohen since I was like 14 years old. Saw him in concert more in his later years. So I kind of always regret not seeing him when I was like 18. But so there are so many albums that would work. So if it was only one album, I would probably go from one of his live albums. There's like Life from Dublin, Life from London, which of course will be all the hits. So I would have to go with one of those.
Awesome. Leonard Cohen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's Canadian. So.
And I was just going to say, ding, 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 right? Man, he's such an icon. Well, you know what? Thank you so much. You've brought so much forward and given people to think a lot to think about, not just about publishing and not what that process is and how you made your way through that and navigated that, but also the content of the book and just how you've chosen to make it applicable and share a piece of yourself. And, you know, we talk about bullying. Bullying's a, you know, as I think people know, it's just a very, very, very big topic, and it happens on many different levels. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily a physical bullying anymore. We know that there's all types of bullying and other people that are making people feel smaller. And so thank you so much for writing the book and taking the time to work on the book and raise money for the book. Because I think anything that we can do for this topic whatsoever is really, this just gives people their power back. And, you know, congratulations for producing something so beautiful.
And you even said at the top of the show that it doesn't even necessarily, like, the trauma doesn't have to be bullying, right? It can be anything to whatever a person had to respond to. Yeah. So whether it was a pandemic or grief or trauma, whatever it happens to be. So it doesn't have to be bullying.
Right.
But it all depends on who I'm talking to as to what I address there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Wanda, thank you so much for being on Mission Accepted. And hey, you guys, I made life easy just like Wanda did. This is not difficult. deb@debdrummond.com and debdrummond.com. If you want to be sitting where Wanda is and you want to share your story or your greatness with us, we'd love to hear from you. And I let you know, what should we talk about? Let's talk about speaking, shall we? You guys know that we are up and coming and we are building in the background right now and gathering over 375 authors and speakers for the largest and boldest compiled speaking event around International Women's Day. It is going to be starting on March 7th, 2023, all the way to International Women's Day in March 2024. And we cannot forget about Mother's Day. It's going to go an extra 8 weeks of another 64 speakers and land off with an international book launch. So if you would like to be an author, if you would like to be invited to the event, if you'd like to come to one of the, 19 summits, it is free. It is free for anybody. And even though it's International Women's Day, we know and we expect there to be not just women on that, but if you'd like to speak or you'd like to share in the authorship, we'd love to hear from you. So same address, you know how to reach me. I'm glad that we reached you today. Please share this episode. Wanda, thank you so much for coming on. And till next week, you guys, be groovy. Bye for now.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Thanks, honey.